Welcome to the Agile Revolution. This is Craig, day 5 at the Agile 2013 conference in Nashville and Tennessee. Wrapping it all up, but been a little bit lax the last couple of days. I missed days 3 and 4, so we'll give you all 3 days, days 3, 4 and 5 here in one big update, and then we'll talk a bit about what happens now, I guess. So, day 3. First session I went off to was by a man named Jeff Watts. His talk was How Simple Belief in Maths Can Help You Coach People and Teams to Change. Really based around a change equation which he has, which is B times P is greater than C, where B is the benefit of the change to the individual, P is the probability of the change to being successful, and C is the cost of the change. So you want the benefit of the change to the individual multiplied by the probability of the change to be greater than the cost of the change. Makes sense, really, if you think about it. And he kind of backed this whole idea up throughout the 75 minutes of his talk. One of the things that he actually went back to was a survey from way back in 1958 called Pringle's Needs of Children. And what this survey really showed after a whole bunch of survey was that love and security is the primary need. If you actually equate this to the workplace, this is the same as request. And in fact, this is something that you see quite a bit. He gave the example of, for example, waitresses that repeat back an order to the customers actually end up with 70% more tips. The reason is that it shows that the waitress actually understood the order and it equates to trust. And it's the same thing that we're trying to get as coaches. Also, things like new experiences in this report. New experiences are achievable and require effort. They enable a child to learn how to learn. If experiments are frowned upon, they become afraid of new things and disengage. And that's the same type of thing that happens in the workplace. Same thing with praise and recognition. Competence is a reward, which is intrinsic. Proud parents are extrinsic. If you think about this in the workplace, that essentially equates to gamification. And responsibility is another one, is that giving people a container so that they can step up for responsibility without consequences. So all these things are kind of equated to this survey that also equate back to the workplace. Essentially, the whole point of his talk was to really to push this back and show you that if you actually look for benefits to the individual and look for things that can actually be accessible, as long as you outweigh the cost of change, in other words, the effort that someone has to put in, then you're likely to be successful as a coach. So, interesting little talk. Then went along to one by David Bland and Brian Pizzuto called Experimenting the Enterprise, really kind of lean startup in the enterprise. There's a lot of talks on this at the conference, but this is kind of the one that I kind of got a look to. Apparently, the average lifetime for most companies has now declined 15 years, which is really kind of interesting, because if you think about, I mean, there are lots of long-standing companies out in the world, but in actual fact, a typical kind of company now is around about 15 years. Also, some comments made very staff, for example, that startups can take a risk that organizations can't. We now have this word called intrapreneur, which is kind of like an internal entrepreneur. They're very similar, except for their environments, obviously. Really, the whole point of this talk went through a whole bunch of the lean startup type ideas. For example, requirements and hypotheses. You can't test hypotheses with more requirements. You have to experiment. Talked a bit about Kinefin and how that kind of fits. Obviously, things like, in the complex space, you can't see things coming, and you obviously have to cycle between, complicated and complex. A lot about experiments. If you experiment to see what happens, you'll always see what happens. The whole point is we want to validate our assumptions. We need to start with what we do to need to learn. Then we need to measure, and then we need to build. That's the whole build, measure, learn loop. What David was really saying is he likes to opposite that. He likes to turn it around, what he calls test-driven experiment, right? So put the whole thing back in reverse, which is kind of interesting. He cautioned that, I guess, that even in Scrum, that we need to stop and measure how successful we are. If anyone does those features, anything, any returns from that, which I think is something that lots of people in the Scrum community, Kanban community, basic Agile community, I don't think that we often do as well as we could. He then had some kind of things to use. He had something called the experiment triangle, which is quite interesting. He also had some experiment guidelines, a little bit of a table that you can fill out, which is something worth looking at if you're interested in. Experiment dashboards and the like. So again, some interesting things about how you might kind of do the whole, you know, lean startup in your organization. He then talked about a bunch of measures. He brought up my favorite, which I've mentioned on the podcast before, and the pirate metrics. Pirate metrics are obviously the ones that go R, which is acquisition, activation, retention, referral, and revenue. And really just a discussion about those kind of things. So again, a good little talk. The last session that I went to was the ending keynote, or the Wednesday keynote, which was at the end of the day on Wednesday, and it was from Tim Lister, and you probably know Tim best by his work that he did with Tom DeMarco in the book Peopleware. And at the top of his keynote, he actually had a video from Tom DeMarco. Tom was actually invited to join at the conference, but he's quite happily semi-retired in his house, up in the northern US, and at this time of the year, really wasn't too keen to leave. But he sent down a bit of a video message. Really, Tim's talk was a kind of a history, really, about his life. The title of the talk was 40 Years of Trying to Play Well with Others. And he really just went back and talked about some of the people and some of the things that had influenced him on his journey. And that was really it. It was more entertaining, probably, than anything learn-worthy that came from it. But really good to hear from people like Tim. It's something you don't always get an experience to do. Thursday at the conference, I didn't actually get to see any sessions whatsoever, and the reason for that is that I had my own talk, which was the 7 Deadly Sins of Test Automation, which was really well attended and had a lot of fun delivering that. And also throughout Wednesday and Thursday did a lot of interviews for InfoQ, which was a lot of fun as well. So the kinds of people that I got to interview, people like Brian Beecham, who I know from the Agile testing space, talked a lot about his Lego TDD game. Spoke to Woody Zuhl, who has been quite big in the no estimates field. Also gave a talk on mob programming, which I talked about in an earlier podcast. Got to catch up with some really cool people. So I got to catch up with Chris McMahon, who talks about open source testing. He's the test lead from Wikimedia. Again, I spoke about that in the podcast the other day. Kent McDonald, who was the chair of the Agile 2013 conference. Speak to Esther Derby, Todd Charon, who is one of my co-editors at InfoQ. And real highlight for me was talking to the three guys who wrote the commitment book, Chris Matz, Olaf, and Liz Keogh. And I got to speak to them about the book, which was really, really awesome. So some interesting interviews coming up on InfoQ in the coming months. Day 5, which was the last day of the conference. Obviously, a lot of people had a lot of sore heads. We had a couple of conference parties on the Wednesday night. There was a number of parties going on, but probably the highlight one was the party from the guys at Lankit. So we all ventured off to a bridge in downtown Nashville. And Thursday night was the conference party, which they had at the Wild Horse Saloon in downtown Nashville. For those Australians listening to the podcast, it's actually the same place where Kenny, in the movie Kenny, goes when he actually travels to Nashville, which is just a little bit of useless trivia for you there. But lots of line dancing and drinks and barbecue to be had, which was a lot of fun at the conference party. So a few sore heads on Friday. The first session on Friday was actually a repeat, where they repeated 13 of the most popular sessions. I went along with the session by Jeremy Kriegel, which was called Sketch You Can, which is really about how to teach people how to sketch in order to get simple ideas out. It's what he calls graphic facilitation. And really, this was a workshop, really, just giving you some different ideas about how to sketch, which was really a lot of fun. The closing keynote for the conference was from Gene Kim on why everybody needs DevOps now. Gene Kim's just recently, he's authored a lot of books in his time, but most recently authored a book called The Phoenix Project, which is kind of a story about DevOps. It's not really a text per se, it's more of a story you can read through. Had a lot of people talking at the conference about that particular book. His real message was to urge us the fact that, DevOps is urgent and important. It's a continuation of our Agile journey. There are patterns. Agile has been really good, but it's won at operations expense. So now we have to kind of clean up the mess. And he referred to some things like, for example, the Velocity Conference. If you haven't heard about that, the Velocity Conference, which is now been running for a few years, been very successful in now getting people talking about DevOps. He gave some examples. For example, 2009 was when Flickr talked about their 10 deploys a day. In 2012, Amazon do a deploy once every 11.6 seconds. That equates to 23,000 deployments a day. So, if you're doing a deploy every 2 weeks or maybe every 3 months, there's lots of people doing things, a lot quicker now. It talked about a bunch of surveys that they've done as well. For example, high-performing teams, 89% using version control, 82% using automated code and infrastructure deployment. You hope version control was given. I'm not entirely sure what the other 11% are doing to manage their code. It's kind of all a bit scary, really. Things that we've learned from other areas, so like Toyota, for example, in the Toyota plant in Alabama, the Andon call is pulled apparently 3,500 times a day. But the reason they can do that is that the Toyota has time buffers into the system. So again, that's what we can learn from manufacturing by having those kinds of things. We talked about a bit about Twitter, for example. Twitter now have 25 years of security enforcement. So due to some earlier bad things, I guess, that they do on the internet. But the interesting thing about that is that they've now used technology to help them make sure that they don't break that again. They've got a little tool called Breakman, which monitors on every developer save and looks for security vulnerabilities. And then it trains the developers on how to fix it, thanks them for fixing it, and gets them to rate the training. So, interesting little things like that. So, really interesting session, and I think talking after it for a lot of people that weren't maybe as aware of DevOps as they should in the room probably really started some awareness, which was really cool. And there you go, that's 5 days of Agile 2030, another exhausting long week, but fantastic to catch up with lots of old friends. What's coming up next, I guess, for me is a little bit of touring around Nashville. Myself and a couple of colleagues from Australia and New Zealand, we're heading down to Huntsville tomorrow to see the NASA Rocket Park in Huntsville, in Alabama. And then I'm off for a little bit of a tour. I'm off to see the Toyota factory in Kentucky, which is the largest Toyota factory outside of Japan. So looking forward to actually seeing the Toyota production system well in progress before heading off to New Orleans to check out the scenery for a couple of days of relaxation. So thanks for listening. It's been great here at the Agile 2013 conference, and we'll catch you with the normal podcast. We've also got a bunch of interviews that we've recorded over here as well, so you can look out for those on the channel as well in the coming months. Until next time, viva la revolution.